You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to the second hour of Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. And I had a fun time talking to Corky. There were so many stories that I can't really say unless I have his approval, because it was funny about both of us. Just kind of stupid stuff. Of course, when we were together, we did a lot of stupid stuff. You know, kind of an older man with a younger guy, kind of in different eras. Our total personalities not compatible, but we had a good time. Doing things. And in fact, Ray Suarez is on the phone. He's with the Pima College women's basketball team. Now on the road, he's one of the PR guys for the school. And he too worked for the Citizen and us and Corky. How are you, Ray? Oh, Ray, can you hear me?
Got that right. The Citizens were, Tucson Citizen was good days.
The very good old days. Yes, yes. I miss those days. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Yeah, no, you're right. The good old days with us. Hey, how did Pima, the women, look today?
You know what? For the most part, they looked pretty good. At some point, it was kind of a rough game to watch. They finished with 23 turnovers.
Wow.
But, you know, this was a shocking thing. Coach Holdhouse, coming into the game, he kept preaching to the girls that Lake Michigan averaged 21 offensive rebounds a game. And our team held them to 10, and we actually out-rebounded them 42-27 for the game. So that was a huge stat in their win today.
And the reason why they were so close, you won. Tell me the score again.
The final score was 81-79.
And you guys won. They missed the last second shot.
Yeah. Lake Michigan missed a last-second three-pointer at the buzzer.
Right. Well, so how did they feel winning this game and moving on?
You know, I think they feel a lot. I think they feel a lot better. You know, coming into a national tournament like this, of course, you're going to get the jitters that go with playing in such a big tournament. It's a national tournament, so I think now that the girls have gotten this out of the way, you know, they've seen and they watched some of the previous game and who their opponent's going to be. So I think they're in a good spot, and I think they feel pretty good at where they're at right now.
How many teams in the tournament?
16.
So they were seeded number 6, is that right?
Yes.
6. So they played an 11?
Yes, they played an 11 seed today, and they'll play Kansas City, Kansas Community College, and they're a number 3 seed.
So an expected better team, at least by seeds. So what time do they play tomorrow?
Yes, they play tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central Time, so that'll be p.m. Standard Time.
Yeah. You guys are so busy, and Coach Holdhouse is so busy that he couldn't get on the show because he's already prepping for that game.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been saying that since we got here. You know that I got a lot of film to watch, and he's excited to get right to it.
Yeah. Now, how much, and you see this all the time because you've been there for a number of years now. How is that relationship with him and Jim Rosborough?
You know, it's really good. I mean, constant communication between those guys, and, you know, Roz is an old school coach. You know, the girls at yesterday's banquet, there was going to be a dance off, and Roz was just going, come on, let's go. It's time to go. You know, we've also got Carla Garrett here too.
Sure.
And, you know, she says, all right, you know, this is nice and everything, but we've got games to play, so let's go. Let's get back to the hotel. Let's get our rest and get ready for tomorrow's game. So it's fun to watch, you know. And Todd's just a great coach. He yells at the girls whenever he needs to, but you know he's on them, but he's very complimentary of them whenever they do their job and whenever they do good work on the court,
yeah,
on and off the court.
Right. I'm glad for you there, because I've had the opportunity to talk to all this Coach Holdhouse, Rosborough, Carla Garrett. Really enjoyed talking to her, having some hometown ties with her. A lot of good athletes at your program that don't get noticed. Do you feel that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've talked a lot this year about J.J. Nakai and Shauna Bribiescas. But, you know, Hallie Gleason and Riley Long, those two really stepped up today. Gleason scored 10 points today and was instrumental in that fourth quarter comeback. Riley Long hit the three-pointer with 3.5 minutes left. That gave team of the lead for good. You know, Marlena Arroyo Plata, she was inside getting rebounds as well. And Alyssa Perez, she had 6 points and six boards today. So, you know, there's lots of things you could say about all the girls on this team.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you're not with the guys, and they lost. Have you talked to the coach yet?
No, I haven't talked to Peabody yet or anybody on the coaching staff. Thankfully, I'm getting help and getting updates from the Akira Kondo and Bobby Gregston. You know, they're the athletic trainers that traveled with the guys team, and so they've been updating us on the games and everything. And after the game was over, they were real quick to post the stats today. So,
right. Unfortunately, I guess you always see the good, and then you see some bad. Last year, when they made that run to the finals, gave them a lot of hope for the future, and obviously, it's a very nice future with Peabody as the coach. And then a year later, you see how much the target gets on you once you become a success.
Yeah, absolutely. That was definitely the case this year, you know. But I think the guys knew that as well, and they just ran into a Cecil Community College team that was just ready for them. And, you know, it was surprisingly a low-scoring game. It was 81-72, and it was 31-29 at halftime.
Yeah, and Pima likes to get it up and move with the ball, you know, to get to 100. First one to 100 usually wins.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see what he says. I hope to talk to maybe a Peabody next week just to kind of get a season recap on a season that turned out to be okay. You know, they finished, what, 26-7?
Yes. And actually, they're still going to play on Thursday. Now they're moving to the consolation bracket. So their game is on Thursday afternoon, I believe. I can't remember the time off the top of my head, but that's where they'll play next, and they still have a chance to grab that third place trophy.
Oh, okay. So, okay, I didn't know that.
So Peabody's going to, you know, keep those guys focused, and I have no doubt they'll come out ready to play.
Yeah. It was fun to watch them. I know that because they had that style of, you know, if you're open and if it's not a bad shot, take the shot. And they were racing to 100 every game.
Yep, absolutely. Their pace of play is just up and down, up and down. I mean, they got me doing stats every home game, and I tell a coach, I say, I'm going to tell you right now, these are going to be unofficial stats because I'll miss something here or there, you know.
Right. No, I get it because I was watching it. It was like a ping pong match. If they miss, they get it back down and take a quick shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What else is coming up? You have softball going on, you have track going on, and you have baseball going on. Can you give us kind of an update on what's going on with them?
Actually, I was just about to tell you to get your email ready today because I'm going to send out 7 press releases today. We've got, obviously the basketball games. We got a doubleheader at Pima today with baseball. They're playing Gateway Community College. Softball was on the road at Mesa. And our tennis teams are playing Glendale today, and our women's golf team is finishing up a tournament in Phoenix. They're playing the South Mountain Invitational up there. So, yeah, there's a lot going on right now.
Yeah. That time of year, keep you busy. It's called job security, Ray.
Absolutely. I'm not complaining. I just go to work.
That's right. Well, thanks for calling in, Ray. We'll keep in touch. Maybe we'll talk to you tomorrow after the game. What time do they play tomorrow?
So we'll play
at 4, three.
Six p.m. Central Time, and 4 p.m. Mountain Standard.
4 p.m., so it'll be after our show. So we'll probably talk to you, depends what happens, on Thursday.
Okay. All right,
great.
Good.
Thank you, Ray. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah. Have a good one.
Thank you, too. That was Ray Suarez of the Pima Community College Athletic Department. He's the PR guy for them. Does a great job. Another colleague I worked with at the Citizen. We're all over the place here on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. We'll take a break. And welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and that was fun talking to Ray. It's funny how success happens, and it's very fleeting. You have these big streaks you go on, and then you hope that things are going to continue, and then all of a sudden you lose, and then it's over. But I didn't know that they were going to have like a consolation bracket where they can play for third place at some point, and that's what the men are doing. The women are advancing. They won today, so that's good news from Pima. A lot of good things going on over there. I think we're going to spend the next maybe 40 minutes maybe taking some calls if you can. If you want to talk about the state of UA basketball, that'd be great. Maybe the state of UA football as they started the spring practice yesterday. I can't remember a time, and I'm sure there's been, a time in my time that there's been kind of spring practice has been so low-key. I think it's by their choice and maybe by the media's because they're not making a big fuss about it. I'm saying they as the U of A. But the spring game is April 13th. It'll be Sumlin's second one. And maybe do you think that there'll be any difference with him this year compared to last year when there was a lot of high hopes and then they fizzled out, especially losing in the last game to ASU? We talked a little about that yesterday with J.J. Taylor, and they say they forgot about it right after the game. They put it aside and don't even think about it. And I think that's the right answer. Once you lose and you want to have bad memories, but it's tough to forget about losses. It just do. Winners don't forget losses. They have a hard time remembering wins, but they don't forget losses because that's part of their fuel they use. But if you'd like to give us a call, 790-2040. Maybe talk about the bracket. It kind of officially starts tonight with the play-in games in Dayton. And then tomorrow ASU faces their team. I think if they play with St. John's, that should be a pretty good game. I think they'll win that. ASU will win that and then play Buffalo. And how much of poetic justice would it be that if ASU plays Buffalo, gets beat by Buffalo, Bobby Hurley's former team and the team that knocked off Arizona last year? I think it's kind of ironic, isn't it? Yes. Have you, Bob, have you already filled out a bracket? Are you looking at a bracket?
No, the only one I saw was the one we had up on the screen yesterday. I haven't, you know, I don't think I've ever filled out a bracket.
I was going to ask you, you wouldn't seem to do one only because, yeah.
I mean, I can guess like the, you know.
That's pretty, let me tell you something, that's what they do. I mean, it's funny, I think one of the other stations on Monday or Sunday, we're talking about some of the teams and they were talking to them because they were joking. They've never seen the teams. They've never seen them play. They don't know in much of the characters or the players on those rosters, but they're going to pretend they do because they're so-called experts.
Right.
Like I told you yesterday, there's no such thing as an expert in pretty much anything. You may have more knowledge, but experts are few and far between. There is no such thing as a guru, you know.
A guru?
A guru.
A guru.
G-U-R-U.
Okay.
Because if you were, you would be making a ton of money. It's doing it.
Oh, if you could call him. Well, I bet you you'd do a pretty good job at this. You're
No, I don't.
No?
I don't because I don't, it's all about matchups, timing, luck, yada, yada. But if you could find some of the upsets, you have a pretty good bracket because once the higher seeds, I'm talking about the ones or twos, start to get beat, everybody's bracket is done. And let me tell you, it's no secret. I like Duke. I've liked Duke for a long time. And I think that 25%, I think I saw that yesterday, 25% of those filling out their brackets like Duke to win it all. So there's no mystery there. If Duke doesn't win it, then it's, or if they get upset along the way, then it's all chaos. Kind of like Arizona when they won in 97.
Right.
No one in their right mind had Arizona winning. No one. Unless, of course, you're from Tucson.
I thought you liked Virginia, no?
I do, too.
Okay.
I do, too. I just don't know how far they're going to go. They're in the what? They're in the South region.
So who are you relying on knocking off Virginia? Like
Virginia, see,
North
Carolina
or
Oregon,
Tennessee or who? Kansas State?
You know, I think they have the easiest side of the bracket.
Yeah,
because Colgate, they played the winner of Mississippi, Oklahoma, very doable. I think Oregon's going to beat Wisconsin. I think that's one of the 12-5 upsets. Villanova, who's played very well, obviously, lately and in the last few years, are a 6 seed. We'll see about that. Tennessee has played well all year, excluding a week or two when they lost to Kentucky. about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think it was. But they rebounded okay. They're number 2 seed in that section. I think Virginia should be able to get to the Final Four. If it's a North Carolina, Duke, Virginia Final Four, that would be kind of sad because all the ACC's teams would have made the Final Four. I don't know who else. I don't think Gonzaga is good enough to win enough games to get to the Final Four.
Did I hear you discussing with Chris this morning about McHale and not holding?
Yeah, apparently he was talking about a column that Greg wrote this morning. I didn't read the column. Not all of us are like Chris, who get up at 5 in the morning and come to work at 6. Thank God. That he read, I guess Greg wrote a column about that. They haven't held a NCAA tournament game in a number of years, and I can't even remember the last time.
Because it sends us out to the East?
Yeah, that's what the, I guess, the logic of it was.
Okay.
Because they don't play here. I don't know if that's true. It sounds legitimate, but I guess Greg is the one that made the questions or asked the questions of the people he talked to. It kind of makes sense if one of the sites in Tucson is Tucson, Arizona can't play at home, so that's one option they can't play in. So they maybe send them east. They could go somewhere else though. They can go somewhere else in the West, like Utah or Seattle or Portland, like they did a few years ago.
We've hosted like a first or second round,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
It hasn't been done in a while.
Right, right. But yeah. I mean, never a third or fourth round,
no,
though, because we're not big enough or
correct,
what?
Correct.
Is that
yes.
The theory?
Yeah, they usually have them in venues like Arizona in the first couple rounds, and then they move them to bigger venues in the Sweet 16, Elite 8, and then obviously in the Final Four, the big stadiums. The last time they held a Final Four at a smaller stadium was last time Arizona was in it in 94. Not the last time Arizona was in it, but one of the times it was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Arizona played Arkansas that weekend. And it was in a smaller, I think it was, I can't remember what the size of it was, but it was tough that weekend because Clinton was the president at the time, and Arizona played Arkansas, so it created a lot of mess with security.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, getting through the detectors and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to just
25 years ago.
Wow. Is that how long that's been?
Yeah. It seems like yesterday to me. Damon and Khalid were in the backfield in the backcourt. Joseph Blair, Corey Williams, Reggie Geary, all those guys were helping lead them to the Final Four. And then Damon had a bad game. I think he shot 2 for 13 in that game. The backcourt duo of Khalid and Damon just couldn't handle Arkansas, the national champions.
Holy baloney.
Yeah.
Makes me feel old.
It's been a long time. Hey, Arizona hasn't been to the Final Four since 2001. Would you consider, now that you're kind of a sports fan, a little bit more would you consider Tucson to be a basketball town?
Yes.
Because?
Because of the Wildcats.
Because of the success?
Yeah.
So if they haven't gone to a Final Four since 2001, are they still a basketball town?
Yep.
Because?
Because I say so. Because of the success of Arizona. I mean, a lot of folks think of Arizona when it comes to basketball. Maybe not so much this year, but that's what Olsen did. I mean, haven't we been? How many times have we been in the tournament?
Oh, a lot. In the last 35 years. Oh, yeah, yeah. In the last 35 years, I think it's only been missed maybe four, 2012, maybe four, Lute's first 2 years, three, four. There could have been four, three or four.
Yeah.
So it is a basketball town, though it haven't really got to the Final Four in forever.
Yeah, but I mean, I say basketball town in as much as UCLA used to be really considered a basketball town, right? But not so much anymore.
UCLA used to be a basketball program, right? Right.
That's what I mean. I mean, we'll never be like
it used to
North
be.
Carolina and back in that area.
That's a good point. I don't know about ever.
I don't know if they'll let us in.
I don't know about ever, but I think it has the potential to be.
Yeah.
There's some. They're looking for a coach now, and I think it's still one of the top 10 programs in the country. Potentially, it has still a lot of flair to UCLA. It has a lot of reputation, obviously. Mm-hmm. In fact, Richard Jefferson and Casey, now his name from Stanford, Jacobson were arguing the point on Fox over the weekend, and Richard said it was a top 20 program, UCLA, and Jefferson was saying it's bigger than that, and I agree with Richard, because it's a top 10 destination to coach, UCLA, because they have all that prestige. But guess what? That's a long time ago.
Well, that's kind of my point. I mean, if UCLA can live off of that, we can certainly live off of 97.
They also have a number of titles to live off of. Well, Arizona has how many?
Let me see. I can count them on my one finger here.
another point. Exactly. So there's a varying degrees of separation, or you know, they have a bunch of them, and Arizona has one, has a lot of success over time, at least getting to the tournament. But is it really a basketball town? Do you know where I'm going with that? It's debatable. That's where I'm going with it. Let me say this, because Butler has gone to more Final Fours in Arizona in the last 15 years. Villanova has won a lot more national titles than Arizona.
I would definitely think of Villanova as a basketball town.
So you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
Is it more of a made-up title, or is it real?
I think to some extent it is real.
Yeah,
more so than your alma mater.
The way you say it is exactly how I feel. To some extent, it's still a basketball town.
Yeah.
Oh, more than in my alma mater. Heck yeah.
We're a softball and a baseball town on the college level.
Well, let's go with that, with the softball program. And Anthony would be able to answer this better than me, because he covered it a number of years. Is it really a softball destination or program now?
When Corky Simpson says that Candrea, that's the first coach that he mentions is Candrea.
Right.
I think, you got to think of it as a softball town.
Yes. And let me say, because of the UCLA kind of analogy.
There you go.
Yes. Yeah.
And then we go back to that.
So there's like some consistency there in terms of argument.
Yeah.
That'll give you.
You just don't ask me if we're a football town.
No. Because the answer to that is a simple no.
Yeah, we don't even know what roses smell like here.
Right. You want some dandelions? Oh, I'm allergic to all flowers. Sorry. Hey, let's take a break here while we talk gibberish here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. If you want to call in, please do 790-2040. We can talk about the tournament. We can talk about a lot of different things. UA basketball, UA football, UA softball. And is Arizona really a basketball town? Or is Tucson actually a basketball town? Is Arizona still a basketball school? I think that the question to the second one is easier than the first. Arizona is still a basketball school. The town, I guess. Yeah, if you're going to put a gun to my head, I'll say yes, it is.
All right.
The success that it has been is not the same as it used to be.
What are the what defines a final basketball?
Final fours, a lot of titles. And I'm not considering this year. This year it happens. It just hasn't happened very frequently. You know, Sean's been here 10 years and no Final Four. A couple of Elite Eights. Sweet 16 or 2 or 3. I don't know. Maybe it's debatable, no question about that. Would I consider it Villanova, Philadelphia? No, not necessarily. We got a call? No? Wrong number. Time. Okay. I can't read your mind. You should be married.
See, Scott, once it's typed in.
Scott, once it becomes official. Scott, how are you, Scott?
Pretty good, you guys?
Fine, thank you. So you have been listening to my questions?
Yeah, I've heard some of your questions, and I heard you a little bit earlier on the in the morning show about the Greg Hansen piece.
Yeah.
About the basketball program. It's kind of bad times that, especially with the economic hardships that Tucson faces, with about 24% of the people living in poverty, that Sean Miller and Greg Burns upon themselves decided that it'd be better for Tucson not to have a tournament, so Miller has a better chance of potentially having an easier route to a Final Four. And it's bad times that they took millions from the Tucson economy and still didn't deliver a Final Four.
Yeah, in what sense? I didn't read the story, but Chris is asking me that this morning. It caught me a little off guard because I didn't read the story. I'm a little bit surprised of how that was phrased, that they decided to not do that because it would have been easier to get to stay in the West. We all know Correct. How that we know all know how that went.
Exactly. It just sucked because I remember going to the McHale to watch games. I remember watching Andrew Bogut play in the first round when he was a first-round draft pick that season. And I remember having, like, the Cincinnati was almost upset by NAU one year. And it was a great thing for Tucson and cool to see other teams come in and play in McHale. And it's just unfortunate that revenue stream was kind of altered because Sean Miller had an easier chance to make it to a Final Four, and unfortunately wasn't able to get it done, even with that help and paying players and three players being fired, coaches being fired, and coaches making up grades for players, and a bunch of different scandals. And it just sucks because they used to be a class act, and Lute Olson was the head of the class when it came to that. And for us to go from a guy who would never yell at players and never curse to Miller calling players MFers on the sidelines, it seems like anyone will take anything for 28 wins a year. And at what point do we have to say it's not all about the wins? And especially with Miller, he doesn't even get the wins that matter.
Let me ask you, Scott, I think I've asked you your age. You don't have to say it again. I think I kind of know. But have you, and I know how negative you are to Sean, but not in a great big way, but have you tried to communicate your thoughts to Mr. Hickey?
To be honest, I haven't. I know we've kind of gone through a couple. We're on the second AD and Greg Burns before and stuff like that. But I haven't. It just sucks that his, for whatever reason, he does decent in the regular season, but everyone knows that his strength of schedule is weak, so all these wins that he gets, like, I'd rather take a Lute Olson 22-19 that's been tested and played top teams all season and has been tested versus the Sean Miller. They kind of got these easy schedules, and it looks good on paper, 35 wins, 3 losses, and they get a Pac-12 title. But then when it comes to March, losing the first round to Buffalo, it's like we set ourselves up for failure in March, but it looks good on paper. In the preseason, we're like undefeated every year, and this is our year till it's not. It just Miller's a great recruiter. I'll never take that away from him. It's just the X's and O's, and unfortunately, he kind of sticks to his own game plan. He won't change it for whatever reason. The zone kills us every year, and it's just tough.
Let me ask you, and don't feel bad for my questions. These are not meant to hurt you, because like I asked Bob, they're not meant to hurt you. So do you have a lot of friends, one?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so when you're with those friends, do you debate a lot, or do they agree with you, or do they debate you on your thoughts?
They definitely debate me.
So they're opposite of your theory.
A lot of times they are, but not with the U of A basketball program and Sean Miller. I've won them all over the last few years because I kind of been on this for a while since that first Wisconsin game. I felt this way, but these last few years and not having the scandals and then having all these assistants being fired and all these issues, it's like, at what point do we take the blindfold off and say, hey, it's not worth it? It's like all these negative things around the university are not worth it. Lute Olson's legacy has been tarnished. The U of A as a program has been tarnished. Is it all worth it for Pac-12 titles? I don't know. Maybe it is worth it. For me, I just don't think it's worth it. And U of A is taking a hit financially by less exposure in March and all that. And just, I feel U of A can do better. And 21 other coaches have made it to a Final Four, and everyone's like, well, who are you going to get? At this point, it's anyone besides Miller. I take the Pima coach over Miller right now, and that's 100% fact. And I would take him. I would give him a chance, and I think he would do a great job. And U of A has a lot of talent from previous alumni or have coaching experience or none. I just think they'd be great advocates for the U of A. And with Sean Miller always trying to look for the next job or intriguing about the other job, let's get someone who really loves U of A and who's going to come in and put the hard work in and reestablish the traditions that people who like me grew up and all we know is U of A basketball being great and now being torn away from us. It's kind of tough. It's like we're in the twilight zone when ASU is making the tournament and U of A is not. It's just, I never thought we were going to be here, but here we are.
What makes you think that Coach Miller doesn't like coaching at Arizona?
Because he's inquired about other jobs in the past, the NC State job, the Maryland job, the Pitt job. I've even heard he reached out for the Ohio State job from some sources I have. And he's an East Coast guy, and obviously he doesn't have a lot of roots besides Arizona, and it is what it is, no fault on him. But when you're always intrigued by other openings or you're always looking for the next thing, I feel like he always has like one foot waiting to step somewhere else. But unfortunately, he hasn't had success to leave. So unfortunately, he hasn't been able to leave yet.
Well, he had a chance to go to Maryland. I guess he and the AD didn't get along, so he didn't go there. I'm not so sure about the NC State job. I really hadn't heard that, or I never really wrote about it. The Pitt job came out last year when there were some sources that said that he maybe had kind of inquired about that on a cursory level, and they were kind of interested too. It would have been a perfect fit under great circumstances. Last year, of course, was not a great circumstance. It's all about opportunity and timing. That was not good timing.
And just the atmosphere of the whole program. Lute Olson was a family atmosphere. Bobby Olson was great. You see the story that Jason Terry talked about, her making him pancakes, and it was just a family atmosphere, and he wouldn't yell and never heard him cussing and stuff at these players. And then Miller's the opposite. It's kind of like when Stoops came in, it was kind of good because he was getting recruits and we were starting to win again, so everyone felt good about it. But after a while, he wasn't getting the same results, and his yelling and all that kind of came to the forefront. At this point, that's kind of where I am with Sean Miller. Him barking at players the whole game gets annoying. Him calling players MFers to their face, it's not a way to coach. And if he was winning championships like Bob Knight and stuff like that, hey, maybe I would let that forgo. But if you're not winning and you're doing all these negative things and giving all these negative things with the university, he's putting a bad brand on it. And everyone calls the Pac-12 a joke already. And for U of A to be not the West leader anymore, it's like Oregon's the real leader at this point. Dana Altman's the coach of the West, him and Mark Few. So, and now even Bobby Hurley's looking better.
Yeah, well, so Scott, I know you've called a number of times, and I thank you for calling. And your thoughts are heard a number of times, like I said. I think that, though, that your passion should maybe write a little letter to Mr. Hickey and say, you know, I'm not the only one that thinks this, and then spill your guts on that typewriter.
I think I will actually take you up on that offer this time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me know how it goes.
I appreciate your time.
Yeah, yeah. No, thank you for calling. I do really appreciate you calling, because he says the same things a lot, all the time, and I get where he's coming from, and a lot of things he says are true.
And I'm not saying, and Miller, he has had success, he has done things, but you got to look at the totality and where U of A was before and where we're going now, and it's a lot of negativity with the program. It's right or wrong with the FBI stuff and his coaches going rogue. Supposedly, he had no idea. It's just that all these negative things are somehow everything except for the coach's fault, and at a certain point, just like any other job, it comes down to the top, and if it's not getting done, it's not getting done.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Scott. Well, thanks for calling. Keep calling. I appreciate the calls.
You.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Hey, Bob, let's take a break here, our last break. I think we're going to get another call or two in the last segment here on Tuesday afternoon. Here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and now we're going to go to the phone lines and talk to Pancho. Pancho, how are you?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing well. Hi, Bob.
Hey, what's happening? You came to Tucson, did you?
I did. I had the great pleasure of enjoying the Rito track with an expert. What did you say there are none of earlier today?
Oh, let me tell you, I am not a horse expert, as you could attest by Saturday when we hit a couple of trifectas and still lost money.
Yeah, I've never seen that before, Bob. I don't know if you're a horse fanatic, but if you pick the horses first, second, and third place, it's usually like 100-1 payout. But
yeah,
actually, somehow Steve and I agreed to pick these horses, and sure enough, they came in 1, 2, 3, and it was a $12 bet, and we got paid what, $10.60, Steve? Something crazy like that.
Something seems wrong
like
there.
In my life.
Yeah, the odds were not that great. We did it a couple times. We actually did better on a couple more trifectas, but it was a good day. Didn't you have a good day?
I had a great time. I've never been to the track before. Anybody who's out there listening right now, look forward to it for the next meet. I'm guessing that's not going to be for another year, though, right?
Right, right. Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. You know, we had a lot of talked to a lot of crap and played the ponies. It was a lot of fun. Watched Baffert.
Yeah, very enjoyable.
The big disappointment of the day to me was the Baffert races. I went specifically to bet the Baffert horses, some of the two favorites to get into the Kentucky Derby, and I didn't bet the first one because I just didn't feel the odds were right, and he lost by a head. And then the one I really bet on, that I really liked, and I told Pancho about it. I put some money on it, and he lost by a nose.
Nose.
He had
nose.
Go ahead.
Well, you know what? You've got to make sure you remember the names of those.
Oh, I do.
Two horses.
Yeah,
and it may influence the odds in Baffert's favor. In Baffert's favor, you know,
Derby
towards,
time.
Towards the. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you.
It might not be a bad thing.
No. Losses are okay. If you learn in losses, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
So you called it.
Every horse race is a seed.
I knew you were going to say that. Once you started every horse, I knew you were going to say that. And I totally agree with you, Pancho. I totally agree with you.
Man, hey, that was.
Or a career. Every horse race is a career, potentially.
Every phone caller is a joker. Every phone caller.
Oh, gosh. Hey. Speaking of which, oh my goodness. The only thing, Scott, here we go again. If you're expecting him to write a letter to Dave Hickey, first of all, he has to stop talking long enough to write something. And then the other thing, Steve, we talked about this at the track. We actually talked about Scott. So, Scott, if you're listening, you came up in our conversation. Yes. And the only question I asked Steve was, have you seen the Fire Sean Miller website?
Oh, yeah, you
and
did
Steve
say that.
Steve started laughing. Bob, have you seen the Fire Sean Miller website?
Yeah, it's like a WordPress kind of a little setup.
Yeah, it's a photo of Sean Miller with no tabs or no links or anything.
Yeah, the
question's a little work. Yeah,
send to Dave Hickey, and I could tell you a story about hiring Brian Peabody, but I won't. I don't think Brian Peabody's going to end up at Arizona.
Yeah, no. That I think he was being facetious about that, but I, you know, some of the things Scott says are very, very accurate.
He's passionate. You're right.
Yeah,
are you?
You're not. I know you're not in Tucson anymore, but do you still think that Tucson's a basketball town?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And
it always will be. There's no doubt about it. I don't think, you know, that hurt the economy and hurt the brand. I don't agree with any of that. I don't see it. The brand is stronger. I mean, there were people that lived in Tucson when Dick Tomey was the coach, and they just as vehemently argued against Dick Tomey's style of football, you know. But this guy's now going after Sean Miller's character and saying that Sean Miller's character and temperament and the way he treats his players. I remember the Caleb Darzewski incident. We all saw it. Caleb Darzewski didn't back down. Caleb Darzewski didn't mind being coached that way. I don't think a lot of these players mind being coached that way. These guys are tough, hardened athletes that want to win. They expect the best out of themselves. And they've been watching Sean Miller all through high school. They know exactly who Sean Miller is. If they didn't want to be treated that way, they wouldn't come here. They know he's a hard-nosed coach. USA Basketball trusted him enough to have his temperament lead the United States of America's best basketball players into competition. So I don't know why he has such a chip on his shoulder about Sean Miller. But that's his prerogative. Well, it's a free country. He's entitled to his opinion.
And it seemed like if he was winning, he'd let it all go. Is what I heard.
Probably.
It's all of this on top of not winning. Is that what you heard, Steve?
Yeah, it's all kind of context. There's no question about that. And this year specifically, he has come out because he didn't win enough, and obviously didn't get to the tournament. Overall, Pancho, we hadn't talked in public like this before. But how would you rate the season? Disappointing? Okay? C'est la vie? What is it?
Well, it was disappointing. I think only as a result of they started 13-4 and 5-1. Jeter looked outstanding. Jeter looked like an All-Pac-12 player at the beginning of the season. And if you look at the losses that they had, a lot of those teams are in the tournament. But then the lack of athletic ability, the lack of ability to match up with half of the Pac-12 teams they couldn't match up with. That's simply a personnel issue. I know there's some people that say Sean doesn't make halftime adjustments and this and that and the other thing, but when your players aren't making shots, there's just not a lot of adjustments you can make. Disappointing, yes. Discouraging, no. Yeah. Next year will be. And I think I told you this a long time ago. What I realized at the beginning of the season when they started to lose was this is just like watching an Arizona football season.
Yeah, it was. You just didn't know what to expect on every given season of a game. Yeah, it's true. Hey, yeah. Who do you have going? Who do you have winning it all? Who do you have going to the Final Four?
I still don't know. I think it's hard to pick against Duke. I've been trying to do a little research. I'm going to put several brackets in with a bunch of different spots, so I'm not I'm not real clear. There's early games that are very intriguing, and there's some West Coast teams that I'm following real closely. Before I get to that, though, Bob, you asked
yes.
a question about how are these last who how do what are, how come these teams that are in the play-in games aren't the lowest seeded teams? There's two play-in games where it's 11 versus
right.
an 11, and then right. So
they have to win an extra game.
I know. I wanted to answer your question about
Please.
That, so I looked into it. There's 32 conferences. All 32 of them send somebody to the tournament right away. The worst conference in America's seventh-place team could win their conference tournament and advance to the NCAA tournament right away. That's going to be a 16 seed. You'll notice okay. that there's 16 versus 16 and 16 versus 16.
Yep.
in a couple of play-in games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are teams that won their conference tournaments. And then since ASU was one of the last four teams in,
yeah.
that means that those 32 spots for the tournament champions were already filled. And then with the remaining 32 spots, they had a 64-team tournament. But somewhere along the line, they decided, we need four more at-large teams because 32 is not enough. So they raised it up to 36 at-large teams, but kept the conference tournament winners at 32. So there you go.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, so soon we'll be going to 72 and then 76 because, you know, just to appease the teams that didn't get in.
Do you think ASU can pull it off against St. John's?
I haven't seen St. John's play, so that's a tough question to answer. So I hope so. I'd like to see him win at least one game.
It's never stopped you from making an opinion with not having ever seen a game before, Pancho.
Well, I can read about it and believe Scott can post his bracket and I'll just copy his. Bob, I have some more information for you, that
yes.
I think is pretty interesting.
We got a minute left.
12,
go for it. Yeah.
The Big 12 actually has 10 teams. And the Big Ten actually has 14 teams. So make
really?
Some sense out of that for me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's talking about total teams in the conference.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Tony.
But I meant their Big Ten have eight in the
tournament.
In the tournament. That's that's what I meant.
Hey, Pancho's just bucking for his own show.
He's a nice guy. He treats me nice. Give me a break.
I already have my own show, Steve. Come on.
Yeah, it's called Being a Husband to Your Wife.
Fantasy Land. My show is called Fantasy Land.
That's why you call it here. Hey, thanks, Pancho. It was good to see you this weekend, too. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, thanks a bunch.
And we'll do my pleasure. I love calling you.
We'll do Del Mar in the summer. Thanks a bunch. That was Pancho, one of the regular callers. Thank you for calling in. Hey, we finished today unscathed. You and I had a little back and forth, but that's fine. 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll do this again tomorrow. Thanks.